Hello, everybody. Welcome back to podcast number 17. Ooh, it's good to be back in my regular office here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Tustin, California. Just got back from Singapore, where we conducted a whole bunch of training, an NGH-approved certification course there that about once a year we go over there. We have a wonderful time meeting new people and remaking our old acquaintances from previous classes. And gosh, it's just always a wonderful homecoming every time we go to Singapore. But this was the busiest trip we've ever made. We were gone for almost a month. We did the NGH certification course with 5-Path and 7-Path. We did a CFI course, which is our training course. CFI stands for Certified Professional Hypnotherapy Instructor. And also we did a 7-Path course for the advanced recognitions. I tell you what, in the future, I'm going to start spending a little bit more time talking about 7-Path because it's one of the things I haven't really talked about enough. And it's one of the things that I do that I am the most excited about. And that's all going to be part of the weight loss program that I'm going to put myself through over the next few months. All right. Hey, Chris and I are in the process right now of getting together some really useful podcasts in the future. So now that we're back in the USA, stay tuned, check back from time to time. We're going to pass on some really good stuff that you can use that day with your clients so that you can be a better hypnotherapist. All right. Today, I'm going to take a little bit of the easy way out. I pre-recorded something while I was in Singapore, kind of by accident. Two of our new CFIs were meeting with me as part of their training, and one of them whipped out a voice recorder and said, "Cal, what we'd like to have is an explanation of what 5-Path is." And I wasn't sure if they really wanted a one-sentence version or a longer version. And I found myself really giving a rather succinct explanation of what 5-Path is. Through all the 5 phases, the theory underneath it, the explanation of how it works, step by step in about 15 minutes. So what we're going to do is we're going to splice that into this podcast so you can give a listen. Of course, if you want to know more about 5-Path, which stands for 5-Phase Abreactive Therapeutic Hypnosis, go to my website, hypnosiscenter.com. Okay. Oh, speaking of our CFIs, those CFIs are Bruce and Pablo, who are now 5-Path and 7-Path trainers in Australia. Hey, Bruce and Pablo, if you're listening to this, best of luck to you out there. We really want to help you in every way we can to help you succeed. Just for our listeners to know, Pablo and Bruce are now able to teach our course in Australia for our NGH-approved hypnotherapy or hypnosis training course with 5-Path and 7-Path. It's the same course I teach, except you won't have to come all the way out to Southern California to get it. I think you're going to be impressed with the knowledge of these two gentlemen. They're both experienced hypnotists, hypnotherapists, and what I would call one percenters, the people who really understand how to use these advanced techniques and can show you how to be more successful. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to split over to the recording that I made for them. When that's over, I'll be right back to wrap it up.
So that's really the key. The key is that we are using these most powerful techniques in a way that not only uses them to the maximum benefit, but doing so increases the probability of success and the power of each of the subsequent techniques used. For example, there's no sense of going to doing age regression until you've properly prepared and tested the client for the depth of hypnosis we need to do that, like some mannerism. So we go through a preparation process that enables a person to then read somnambulism and we test them for somnambulism, at which time then we can apply successfully the age regression technique. And each one of the techniques you could involve in the age regression process are validated to a high degree. For example, when we do age regression, we can choose either the affect bridge, cognitive bridge or symptom bridge. Most commonly we use the affect bridge. And we will bring up the feeling, which feeling? The one that's associated with the problem that brought the client in. We do not ask the client in the conscious state what that is. We find that out from the subconscious that it knows. We bring that feeling up and then follow that feeling back until we have IFC. We have at least 7 to 8 ways to validate the IFC, which gives us a high degree of certainty that we're doing the informed child. We don't worry about informed child techniques until we've validated that we, with a high level of confidence, that we actually are doing it with the IFC. Then what we're going to do is we're going to do the informed child work with the knowledge of the child, the adult aspect of the client, and the therapist working together to provide that child with the information that he or she needs so that she can get through the event without being negatively affected by that. And by that I mean picking up the misconceptions that generate the emotions that are causing the problem, as we explain in the Secret Language of Feeling philosophy in the book. So we reduce those erroneous feelings when the person gets relief from the drive to cause the problem or generate the symptoms. Then we are able to reduce or eliminate the negative thinking that is causing the emotional problem. We do not disturb emotions that are based in reality. Those are left. All feelings are good and are based in reality. Rationally based emotions do not cause the problems in the long run. However, in later phases of the process, we can also opt the client to reduce or eliminate those too. So, once we have eliminated the cause of the problem in the IFC, we can reinforce this positive change by working through the subsequent sensitizing events that occurred after the IFC, which were uncovered during the initial age regression process. Then, once that is done, we have done something very important. We have eliminated the cause of the problem, and we've learned who, if anyone, other than our client, was involved in the creation of the problem in the first place. These people who caused the problem, the client is going to be experiencing and will have experienced some kind of painful emotion toward that person, usually in the form of anger. So now, by doing first phase one preparation, testing, and convincing, we have created a circumstance in which we can have a very successful age regression process. It's criteria based. We do this until it's done, then we do that until it's done, then we do that until it's done, and so on. Then in phase three, which is a particular kind of parts therapy, which is forgiveness of others. Most people don't understand that this is a parts therapy because we are not really forgiving the actual individual, because the actual stating of forgiveness to the individual is not required for success in this phase. What we're really doing is we're forgiving the person that we believe that individual is or has been in our life, freeing us from the emotions that we carry within us towards this almost imaginary individual that we carry within ourselves. And so now, this is the only time when we can really decide who needs to be forgiven and for what. And that is after having gone through the uncovering experience of the age regression. Many hypnotherapists will attempt to do parts therapy without having done the age regression, or attempt to do forgiveness therapy without doing the age regression. The only time it makes sense to do it is after doing an age regression, because then we know who the individuals are that play the significant or important part in the problems of the client. And so at that time, do we put someone into the forgiveness process? Now, we're also more sophisticated than most approaches because we realize that some of the emotions can be dealt with in the age regression process. Other emotions need to be dealt with in the forgiveness process. In the forgiveness process, we deal with, in the forgiveness of others process, one emotion, and that is the emotion of anger. It can be both anger that's based in reality, and it can be anger that's not based in reality. This anger is neutralized through the act of forgiveness and through the act of understanding and the perception of increased fairness. This is done by pouring the 10 keys to forgiveness process, and also by creating for the client a cathartic experience in which the person can release a significant amount of their energy to healing inside themselves if they're called anger. After that has been released, we now have a temporary state in which they're not carrying as high a level of anger as they usually do, so that we can use logic and insight to complete the forgiveness process. Once the forgiveness process has been completed, we have a number of ways that we can check to make sure that it has been done. And if it has not been done, then we have a specific process that we can use and go through to ensure that it does get done. Once the forgiveness of the other has been done, we are left in a unique situation. And that is, for a short period of time, we have an individual who is no longer angering at a bunch of people around themselves. So the present means past, because they're forgiven them. And so now, we can do a forgiveness of self that is complete. If they are still angering and cussing out and feeling bad and making plans inside their head to get back at someone, that's a lousy place to try to do the forgiveness of self, because they're still doing the sin, so to speak. So it only makes sense to do phase four, the forgiveness of self, shortly after or directly after having done forgiveness of others. This is where they are now able, in the light of the age regression, seeing what caused the problem, and in the light of the insights gained in the forgiveness process, that they are able to clearly see their contribution to the problem. And there is a shift of external locus of control to an internal locus of control at this point, and which is completed through the forgiveness itself. Now, in each one of these phases, in every session, we end with direct suggestion. And in the direct suggestion, we use a technique called the segue, in which we directly remind the client of the insights gained in each one of those sessions, in each one of the phases, and let them know that now that they've gained those insights, they will be able to better accept these suggestions for change. And because these insights make the individual hyper-suggestible for suggestions that are consistent with the insights gained, it is something that really needs to be done that most hypnotherapists never even heard of them to do, because when they accept suggestions at this particular moment in time, they can become permanent part of their personality because it becomes part of their belief system. Then finally, these first four phases take care of the primary gain, the cause of the problem. There is no hypnotherapeutic approach out there that also, as part of the system, has designed in a way of evaluating whether there's secondary gain and then taking care of the secondary gain if it does exist. There's a possibility that otherwise a well-trained hypnotherapist who conducts a well-executed series of hypnosis sessions, completely neutralizing the cause of the problem, be a complete failure in his attempt to remediate it. Because, yes, that you got to the cause of the problem, very good for you, Mr. Hypnotist, but that's not sufficient to end it, because there is something in the client's present situation that is either reinforcing or demanding the continuance of the problem, and it is strong enough, significant enough to overwhelm all the work you've done, and so we must have a way to do that. And that way is phase five, heart mediation therapy. And it is a simple application of regular mediation techniques that, instead of being done between separate individuals, it's done within the consciousness of one individual. So that one individual who's in conflict with wanting to change and all the benefits of continuing in the same way. And what we do is we psychically divide the individual into both those parts. We will then go into a mediation process in which the individual in hypnosis has a part that wants to change, which we will call the self, and the part that wants to remain in the still wanting to do the old whatever it was part, and we will have each part express the benefit of what of why they want to do what they want to do. And we will find that in the still wanting to do the old thing part, whatever that was, or the part that's resistant, we can identify that it's not really doing that thing that's important, but the benefits that they get from doing that thing. And because of that, we can get the self to agree that what that other part, which was in conflict with, was doing what it was doing for some very good reasons, and actually agrees with that part that those benefits are good. Once that's done, then we can rename the still wanting to do the old thing part using a name that describes the benefit. For example, if you had someone who wanted to had a part that wanted to continue smoking pot or marijuana, we'll find that the reason that that person wants to do that, or that aspect of the person, is for fun, relaxation, and that kind of thing. You will not find that the part does this because it wants to indulge in the illegal activity, or that it wants to spend money on a green substance, or that it wants to hold smoke in its lungs. It's because of the other benefits. So we can easily rename that part the fun and relaxation part, and then we go into a brainstorming phase between those two parts with the aid of the hypnotherapist, so that we can come up with a series of behaviors through the brainstorming technique that one would expect would answer the needs of both parts, generating a win-win solution. We'll then call from that series of suggestions a few things that we believe the client can do in the short run, the medium run, and in the long term as to meet the needs of both parties, the self and the fun and relaxation part, or whatever the true benefit of the part that was in conflict that no longer is, would like to do. And then he will take that list of items, use a segue. And again, the segue is where we directly tell the client that now you know that the reason you were doing that was this. You have this insight, it changes everything. Now that you know that, you'll be able to accept these suggestions permanently because they're based on insight. And then the suggestions that we give them are the agreement that was generated by the parts mediation process. And then with that being done, we've been able to take care of primary gain and secondary gain, and there is simply no systematic hypnotherapeutic process in the world like it. And the one who is aimed at this is a 1%, but that's for the best.
All right. Like whole six of the cup.
Beautiful. So that's your Australian society. Okay, now that you've heard that brief explanation, you know, it might even be useful. It's really condensed. There's a lot of information right there. If you might want to play it a couple of times to get all of it. But if you understand that, you get an idea of why 5-Path is so effective. It really optimizes all these really powerful tools that the hypnotherapist has that no other profession has. And you're going to find that you can help your clients make changes much more quickly when you move into this elite form of hypnotherapy. Okay, well, that's it for now. I got a few things to do around the office since I got back. In fact, I got a long to-do list getting those things done, getting some new podcasts out to you very shortly. Let's see. For now, if you want to hear more about our hypnosis training programs, just go to hypnosiscenter.com, or to learn about other trainers and their materials, go to banyanhypnosismall.com. And by the way, we've got our e-zine on there. Some of the leaders in the field of hypnosis write wonderful articles for us right there. And that new issue will be coming out very shortly around the first part of January. All right. And then also, you know, I've been kind of announcing, I've been kind of putting it out there, but go to calbanion.com to hear the latest about my weight loss project. Oh, I'm having a wonderful holiday season, had a wonderful time in Singapore, eating up all the Singaporean delights there, wonderful Chinese food and Indian food and Malaysian food. I'm allowing myself to get up there in my weight, and also now we've got the Christmas holidays. What a wonderful time to be preparing for a weight loss program. And right now, it looks like, I'm going to finalize it in the next couple of days, but it looks like our first day of the weight loss program, my weigh-in, will be World Hypnotism Day, which is January 4th. All right, guys and gals, keep checking back. Oh, one last thing, one last brag here. I just got, speaking of Australia, I just got a issue, the Australian Journal of Clinical Hypnotherapy and Hypnosis, an interdisciplinary journal dedicated to advancing the art, science, and practice of hypnosis. That is the Australian Society of Clinical Hypnotists, also known as ASH. They asked me a few months ago to write an article on how we conduct stop smoking sessions at our center with an emphasis on 5-PATH. It looks like the word is getting around. They're even hearing about us down under, as they say. And so my article, several pages, is in the Australian Journal of Clinical Hypnotherapy and Hypnosis. So I hope you get a chance to check that out. You let me know and see. Well, let those guys know what you think. Well, that's it. Cal Banion signing off. Have a great holiday season. Cal Banion, over and out. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.